What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 548th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective. I'm your host, Steve. With me is Greg.
Hello, hello, hello. Guess what? I'm going to the Asia Mall tonight. I'm going to go visit all of Asia in mall form.
Hopefully they'll have more things open when I went.
I heard a couple things have opened. So I think, I don't know, it's a Sunday. It's a weird day to go. But it was not my choice.
I went like after a snowstorm, so half their parking lot was like holding snow, so there was no spaces to park. Speaking of snow, Bobby doesn't get any.
None at all.
Are you flooded?
No, not down here, but it is. We've been getting a lot of rain. Well, a lot of rain for like California, obviously. But no snow, no flooding. Just rain.
Just living the good life over there.
It's like 60 degrees or something right now. I don't know, 65 degrees. I don't know. It's nice. It's good. Good living.
All right. So for today's episode, we have Pokemon Go stuff. We have the Scarlet and Violet TCG stuff. Details got announced there. And then we have some upcoming Scarlet and Violet raids on top of they did the 1008 Pokemon video. I'm suspecting we all watch that. because all that stuff is Scarlet and Violet, let's do the only non-Scarlet and Violet stuff, which is Pokemon Go, which to me is still always weird that Niantic is on there like, if we're celebrating Hoenn very soon.
They're a little behind.
When a brand new game
started late.
I get it, but at the same time, like, there are no rules. They could have skipped, they could have jumped early to like... just feels They've weird that everything else is celebrating like Gen 9 and Niantic is like, gee, you guys remember like Lotad?
Niantic has their own rules and they will not be deterred from them.
Yeah. Niantic is the Internet Explorer of the Pokemon universe.
Man, I can't wait till they adopt Pokemon Go Edge.
Oh, poor Niantic.
We all thought like a Gen 3 Pokemon was coming, and everyone wrong, I guess, because Noibat is the next community day, which is a good community day.
It's a great community day, but they are all over the place.
I think the shocking thing here is how fast they did Noibat. Like, I thought they were going to milk Noibat for another year because it was one of the dragon egg. Maybe can spawn in the wild event for the Twinkling Disney Channel event that was happening. And it was pretty sought after. There was like another thing where people were like, oh, I want to grind Noibat eggs or whatever.
There was an event a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Where there were Noibat eggs because I definitely spent too much money on incubators trying to hatch a shiny Noibat. But like, unlike a lot of people, I'm not mad that there's now a Noibat community. Like, I knew it was coming. And guess what? There's Axew in raids right now. And for all you people who are raiding and trying to pay for a shiny Axew, that will also be a community day at some point in the future. So, yeah.
Yeah, I would also assume that like they're going to turn Goomy shiny for this summer's Go Fest. Because that would be the one you would spend a bunch of dollars on, and then Goomy would be the community day for next summer.
Exactly.
Axew would be this year's community day.
Yeah, yeah.
Raid.
Still going strong, baby.
Not raid. This year's community day, because they were in raids for GoFest in 2022.
Yeah, I'm thinking Axew in somewhere between June and August. It will be the community day. That's my guess. Just based on how they do that.
And then Goomy would be like, here's your dollar, easy, like, we're going to milk all these suckers for Goomy things. And then all those people are going to be the same people that complain next year when Goomy is a community day. Because no one has ever learned that this pattern.
Look at the calendar. Look at the patterns. Look at the patterns. What we need is we just need Bobby, you need to create a big murder board. With strings and dates, and then you can just point to it. You can go live on Instagram and say, look, here's the pattern.
Yep. True. I don't understand this like idea that you're just gonna get a shiny and it's gonna be exclusive forever. You know, it's like, no, of course not. Like, it's you're paying to get it first, right? Like, eventually all of them will be available to everybody in some way.
I mean, I guess you could get it to be a lucky shiny a year before anybody else could.
Sure.
Without there luck.
There you go.
I mean, to be fair, when I see people walking with the Galarian birds, I'm like, oh, gosh, I wish I could get this. And then it's like, but then I have to do the 15-minute incense, and then I got to walk, and then it's going to appear, and then I'm not going to catch it, and then I'm going to be mad that I didn't catch it.
Look, I'm not walking until I am not going to slide down the hill outside my house straight into the river, because it is pure ice out there still. And half the people are like, it's good enough. I'm like, it's not good enough. That's not good enough. It's a death trap.
Yeah. Just not Southern California problems. I was going to say, like, I've been walking every day now, just like since the new year, and then doing those daily incense. And before, so I don't know if they've changed like the spawn rate of the Galarian birds, but before New Year's, I had seen two in the entire time. And I've done it like fairly, like, consistently every day. I'd seen two. And then since New Year's, I've seen three, I think. So it seems weird that, but it could just be chance.
Yeah.
But I haven't caught them, obviously, because they're impossible to catch. But at least they're showing up.
So yeah, Noibat Community Day. Noibat does take 400 candy to evolve.
It's on a Sunday, FYI.
It is Sunday, February 5th, from 2 to 5. They'll have their dollar research, 3 times the Stardust, 2 times the catch candy, 2 times the chance for receiving XL candy if you're level 31 and above, extra special trade, 50% less Stardust, lure will last for 3 hours, incense will last for 3 hours, snapshot.
Why do they still bother saying, take a few snapshots during community day for a surprise? We know what the surprise is. Well, it's not a surprise anymore.
The surprise.
We know it's going to happen.
You don't know what cool pose Noibat is going to do. He's going to be in this fancy... Everyone.
That's it.
Everyone loves
all
the Noibat.
That's all you're going to see.
Noibat's great.
Noibat's going to be in 4-star raids after, so you can like extend it, because there's no middle evolution, so they're just going to do Noibat.
Oh, really? It's not... I missed that. I thought it's not going to be Noivern.
No, it will still be Noibat. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, Noibat would have been like
a
good...
How many candies do you need to evolve Noibat anyways? 4,000? 8 million?
Wait, what?
Wait, what?
How many candies to evolve Noibat?
400.
Yeah, okay.
4,000?
You know, Noibat would have been a cool Halloween Pokemon. I don't know. Very spooky in February, I guess.
Who was October's community today? It was Litwick this year, right?
Yeah, it was Litwick.
It was Litwick, yeah.
Okay, so at least it was Halloween themed this year. At least there was a Halloween.
And then Roggenrola was September, I think? Because, yeah, that would have been right, because Eternatus Codes came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I you know, 2023, at least starting off strong with two good community days, Chespin and, well, I would argue that they were good. You know, everyone likes starters, especially a fresh, brand new shiny, and Noibat very sought after, so. Yeah, sure. I guess we'll
sure.
Maybe March will disappoint us. Who knows?
It will.
Last bit of Pokemon Go. Well, two more bits. There's going to be a new event, celebrate the Lunar New Year in Pokemon Go's 2023 Lunar New Year event. They do this like every year. I think this event is kind of bad, but Pokemon like Bunnelby and Banary will appear more frequently in eggs and in the wild because it's the year of the rabbit. Wild encounters are going to be Ponyta, Magmar, Magikarp, Slugma, Numel, Combee, Banary, Fennekin, Bunnelby, and then some trainers might encounter Flareon or Darumaka. You'll have an increased chance to get shiny Darumaka, so that's cool. Increased chance for lucky trades, increased chance to become lucky friends, twice the Stardust from opening gifts, one additional special trade each day for a maximum of 2 per day. And then trainers can choose several reward bonuses during limited research. I think this was already data mined or leaked or something, where you can choose for more XP or more Stardust.
Mm.
No, they and it's on the press release. It's like it's a catching one. It's like the branching. I thought I remember seeing that on like on the Pokemon Go website.
Where oh
like
no, it's not on this either. Website.
Oh,
right, well, I'm on PokemonGoLive.com. It's not here.
Never mind then. I don't know what I saw. On.
I know what data mining website I saw it on.
Cheating.
Let's see. There will be. Oh wait, you were right. It does say this. Okay, so it says trainers will be able to access the time to research. This is in very small text. They will grant wishes for their next one. So hatching eggs, for the duration of daily, they will either revolve around either hatching eggs, the duration of daily adventure incense, or collecting stardust. Those are the paths you can choose.
Okay, well then I definitely read it on some other website because that's not the. The terminology I saw. But it, yeah, same idea.
No matter what you pick, all trainers who will be able to complete research will receive a lucky egg and other items. They will also have the opportunity to encounter Magikarp, Azumarill, Combusken, Darumaka, Galarian Darumaka, and Bunnelby. 7K eggs will have Chingling, Riolu, Darumaka, Galarian Darumaka, and Scraggy. Can't wait for that Scraggy community day.
Oh, I'm excited for that one. I'm grinding that one out. I need a little Seggy boy. My little Seggy pant boy.
1-star raids will have Voltorb, Shinx, Darumaka, Galarian Darumaka. 3-star raids will have Flareon, Shuckle, Blaziken, Druddigan, Diggersby. Who in their right mind is going to be doing
that
a non-shiny Diggersby raid?
I am paying a dollar to get them all, baby.
They always need to do one. There needs to be 1 3-star raid. Remember when 3-star raids never had shiny Pokemon and it was like, no one wants to do 3-star raids.
There's still very little reason to do 3-star raids.
I don't have a shiny Dread again, I guess.
Yeah.
Over that.
Regice is my favorite rabbit Pokemon. I don't know why that's being featured as the 5-star legend.
If you turn it upside down, those legs become rabbit ears. It's obvious. I can't believe you didn't even see that.
What I hate most about this is that I'm 40 Regice deep without getting a shiny one yet in Pokemon Go, and it just means I'm going to have to do a few more Regice raids when it's here.
You don't have to. There will be in 2050 when we're out crawling around Regice Community Day.
Mega Lopunny will make its return. Also, there will be a new backpack in the shop that you can buy. It looks like a little lantern.
Oh, that's kind of cute.
This event it's like 4 days, right? It is Thursday, January 19th to Monday, January 23rd. So it's not a terribly long event. If you are going to the Hoenn Go tour in Vegas, I guess try to get lucky friends with people if you're going to see them there or whatever. A way to get lucky friends.
Or don't.
I don't know.
I don't know. We don't live your life. Do what you want.
Or don't. I don't know. speaking of the Hoenn Go Fest tour, it's not Go Fest. I don't know. It's just called the Hoenn Tour, Las Vegas. It sold out as of, I think, this morning. It will be Las Vegas, Nevada, February 18th to 19th. You were able to add on an extra ticket if you wanted to, although a little bit of some at some point last week, both days were still available, but you couldn't buy both days. So you could buy Sunday or you could buy Saturday, but you couldn't like add them together. So they were probably I don't know what's happening on the back end, right? They probably turned that off. And then I think Saturday sold out first because, of course, it would. And then Sunday just sold out this morning, the morning we're recording this. So that event is completely sold out now. They didn't say how many people were there. I will try to ask a security. Niantic usually doesn't tell me for the record of how many people attend, but usually you can find like a security guard or one of those event people that are like, because they know, because they're told by their event organizers how many people are there. So I'll just find a security guard and figure out how many people showed up to this event.
Way to do it.
No clue, but it sold out. It seems. We can only hope that it will be good. I don't think Vegas ever gets rain, right? So at least it won't be rained out, right?
You should be fine.
Yeah, it's a desert.
I've been in Vegas when it's rained before, but it once maybe, and I've been to Vegas
it's
a lot. So
not that common.
Yeah, not common there for sure.
Plus, look, they want you inside at the casinos anyway. So if it rains, they're just going to throw your doors open and let you go inside.
I'm excited to walk around the casinos. I have no desire to gamble, but I want to see the energy.
Steve says he has no desire to gamble as he's playing Pokemon Go.
Correct.
I have joined zero Dedenne raids because I ain't giving Niantic that dollar. I want the Dedenne, but I will click the wild spawns. Thank you very much.
Knowing you, you will like the energy of Vegas for approximately 20 minutes.
Mm.
And then the noise of the casinos, because they are loud, will send you fleeing for the hills.
Yeah, that
combo.
Well,
they'll send you fleeing for your earpods, because you will definitely put your earpods and be like, nope, I'm out.
Well, no, it's the combo of the bells and everything going off, along with the stale cigarette smell that you will have.
Wait,
going through
those. Can
you
still smoke in casinos?
That,
yeah.
Yeah.
Some. Not them, all.
Not all of
some.
Them. It's definitely changed, but yeah they want to keep everybody in there as much as possible.
Here's the secret if you want free drinks at a casino in Vegas. Take a dollar worth of quarters, sit down at a slot machine, and play slowly. At some point, they will come up to you and ask you if you want a drink, because their goal is to give you free drinks to keep you gambling. Mm-hmm. So if you do not want to buy a drink, but you want a drink, just sit at a slot machine and play slowly.
Yep.
And they'll come up and be like, oh, can I get you something, hon? And you're like, yeah, I'll have a whatever. And they'll run off, and then you're stuck there because they are doing that for everybody. So you're probably stuck there for about half an hour before they get back to you, but they will come back to you with a free drink.
I also heard, like, the cigarette thing, that some don't even do that anymore.
Cigarette. Like, yeah, there are non-smoking casinos now. That's definitely changed over the years, but there are definitely still casinos where you are allowed to smoke. And I always love the non-smoking sections of those casinos, because it's like, it's still all wafting over there. It's not like
that was set up in the 70s. That's how it used to be, and we're not straying from it. So, I mean, the higher end, the nicer ones, the ones that are leaning way more into family-friendly stuff and way into more being a mall than a casino now, they have a lot stricter rules around smoking. But believe you me, some of them casinos, you're like, boy, this carpet's never been cleaned.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, it's like they could be non-smoking, but the sinking in stench of cigarettes from decades of allowing them will still
decades
be
on decades.
In the air.
Let's shift gears over here to the TCG stuff. So on PokemonCenter.com, the Scarlet and Violet stuff went up for pre-order. So you could get a booster box, which I still don't know who's buying booster boxes from PokemonCenter.com at full MSRP when you... There's various sites out there that will sell them to you for, like, significantly under MSRP. But the one thing on PokemonCenter.com that I think some people gravitate to, myself included, is the Elite Trainer boxes, the Pokemon Center exclusive Elite Trainer boxes, which usually just come with two more booster packs and, like, I don't know, one extra thing normally in them. But if for whatever reason, if you decide to pre-order that, you get a LeChonk promo card.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to purchase four of each. I did purchase one of each, so I did. It does give you two LeChonk on checkout. They're not sold out yet. They went up for pre-order, I think, 3 or 4 days ago. So I think either two things can happen. Either or they could be related. Number one is they are printing many more cards. And number two is scalpers don't want to buy these anymore, which could be related because they keep just printing more and more cards. Because in the past, these Elite Trainer boxes would have crashed the website and would have been sold out in less than 5 minutes.
Yep.
But even with a purchase limit of four, they're still up there.
You also get with the Pokemon Center exclusive ETB, you also get a second. So the way that they're doing it for Scarlet and Violet, right, is every Elite Trainer box now comes with a promo card inside. So like in these, you can either get the Scarlet box or the Violet box. You get Coridon or Maridon, like, as a promo card inside of it. if you get the Pokemon Center exclusive one, they give you a second card that looks exactly like the other one, except it has a Pokemon Center stamp on the card.
Mm.
So if you get an Elite Trainer box from Target or Walmart or somewhere else, you'll get one promo card in the box. And if you get the Pokemon Center exclusive one, you'll get two. And the only difference is one has a Pokemon Center stamp and the other one does not. So
got it. I forgot that we covered the news that like the TCG cards are going up. Like the booster packs, I think, went up like 50 cents and then the ETBs went up like $5 or something like that. But they're like, we're putting more booster packs in the ETBs and we're giving you a guaranteed. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's something weird with eggs right now where eggs are like $9 or
something. Yes.
Well, that's because a lot of bad things have been happening to chickens lately. Unfortunately, chickens aren't doing so good. So if you see a chicken out, take a moment, respect their space. They're having a rough time right now.
All right, chickens having a rough time. Got it. PokeBeach here has a list of things that were revealed. This is January 13th off PokeBeach.com. They said that there was the reveal in Japan, and this leads to more details for the English Scarlet and Violet set. So they are saying the set will feature 12 double rare Pokemon EX, including 2 Terra Pokemon EX. This means 1 Pokemon EX will be cut. The Japanese sets and theme decks feature Gardevoir, Great Tusk, Gardevoir EX, Great Tusk EX. Just assume I'm saying EX after all these. Koridon, Spidops, my boy Spidops. If you have not seen the Spidops TCG cards, I feel like they finally do Spidops justice. They're so good.
They finally do. It's been 3 months since we've even seen this thing exists.
Justice is served for Spidops.
Where did you see this?
This should be on PokeBeach. This should be the article before this one where they have the cards. Should be.
It's very good. I will say it is very good.
Magnezone.
I'll be the judge of that.
Maridon. Baynet. Why do they keep making Baynet cards? Who? Not like Baynet's fine. They just like they make a lot of Baynet cards. Iron Treads, Oinklage, Lucario. See, Lucario at least makes sense to me. Ampharos and Mimikyu EX. So those are all the EXs. Gyarados EX and Arcanine EX will be the 2 Terra Pokemon. Gen 1 strikes again. 12 ultra rare Pokemon EX and 8 ultra rare supporter cards. Are being reported here. These are probably the full arts. We know elsewhere the Pokemon company Scarlet and Violet will feature full art etched cards showcasing Pokemon with simple poses, bright colors. The 8 ultra rare supporters are probably going to be the full art supporters. 24 illustration rare Pokemon. These are called art rares in Japan. We're calling them in English illustration rares. 10 special illustration rares and rare Pokemon and then supporter cards. These are called the special art rares in Japan. We are calling them special illustration rares. If you notice, the Pokemon company will say 10 special illustration rare Pokemon and supporter cards, unless we're misunderstanding, we as in PokeBeach. It seems that the Pokemon company is saying there might be special illustration rare supporters. If so, they have not revealed them in Japan yet. All of Japan's secret rares will be revealed by next week. The Pokemon Company is also saying illustration rares and special illustration rare Pokemon will showcase Pokemon in their natural environment and offer a closer look at their unique personalities. 6 hyper rare gold etched cards, which include Pokemon EX, trainers, and energy. These are probably the gold cards we've already seen before. We've seen this with like Zamazenta, Zacian, Eternatus, all that stuff. And then finally, this is probably the biggest takeaway from this news, is there's no mention of rainbow rares at all in the Japanese set, which means that the rainbow cards might be done for, which I don't know. Some people like, I liked the rainbow rares. Some people didn't. Some people liked the older rainbow rares, but not the newer rainbow rares. I liked them all. They're saying the set for English will be over 190 cards. And the Elite Trainer Booster Boxes on PokemonCenter.com are $60. I think they used to be $55.
They were, no. So they used to be, so.
No, they used to be $50.
Pokemon. Oh yeah, Pokemon Center exclusive ones. They used to be 50,
and the ones at Target used to be 40. But those are going up to 50.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Pokemon Centers went up from 50 to 60.
Yeah, there was a $5 increase in there at one point within the last like 6 months, I will say. At like Target, they were 45. Like they were creeping up already, but yeah, now it's going to be 50 for a non-Pokemon Center exclusive ETB and then 60 for the Pokemon Center exclusive ones in US. I know in like Canada, all these prices are like way higher, but in the US, yeah.
Greg, what do you think of that Spidops?
Nah.
Nope. What? Pass. It's so good. What are you talking about?
Hard pass. Hard. One of the hardest passes I can give it. No.
Wow.
Be gone.
You see the one where he's gone, in the tree and he's whipping the like string shot? Good. It's good.
Good. It's good. I think they're really leaning into, which I am a fan of, but they're really leaning into, I guess, I assume like the special illustration rares would be like the alt arts, right? What we were calling alternate art cards before. But it's cool to see them really lean into that, although it will make it a lot harder to collect, like if you're trying to get an entire set.
Does it? Definitely because make it a lot like harder. I think my problem with the TCG stuff in the last couple of years, and I wanted when Sword and Shield came around, I wanted to like complete every set. Which ends up being pretty hard because the rainbow rares and the gold rares are significant. Like you're lucky if you pull like two or three per $100 booster box. So at a certain point, like Pokemon Go, TCG definitely benefits from the area you are in. So if your friends are collecting TCG or you're going to TCG meetups or like leagues, and you have a bunch of extra EXs or V cards, you could probably trade for the ones you're missing, right? But if you're collecting by yourself and your only options are to continue to pay more money and to continue to open packs, and there's nothing wrong with opening packs are very fun. Or the smarter option is just to go to like eBay or TCG Player and literally just buy the like the specific cards you are missing, because the likelihood of you buying another $100 booster box and pulling that is probably very slim. But
yes,
I would maybe assume that the joy of collecting Pokemon cards is like the randomness and the opening the booster packs and like going through the excitement and stuff, and not specifically just going to eBay and adding add to cart.
That's exciting to me. If I was missing like two, enjoy paying other people for their work and me having to do none of it.
Yeah, yeah. But like also the other problem I guess, well, hold it back up. The first problem I have are these sets are ginormous and the rare cards are pretty rare. The second problem I had was like every card could be a reverse holo, including rares. So you could get like a holo rare Cramorant, right? Not a full art Cramorant, just like a holo rare Cramorant, but you could also get a reverse holo Cramorant. But like, why do I really want both? Like I the reverse rare stuff never existed in Japan. The reverse rare stuff was only like American and like Italian and German and stuff. Did they get rid of reverse rare? Is that gone in Scarlet and Violet?
I'm gonna say it's the other way around, because when they talked about the price increase going to $450 a pack, there are now, for one, there are no more non-holo rares, right? They said that they got rid of the non-holo rare. So
you could get non-holo rare, holo rare, or reverse holo rare. Yeah, yeah, that was a thing too.
Yeah, so there are no more non-holo rares.
So that's good.
And they said there are 3 holo cards a pack now. And so technically, if you think about it, now if there was, let's take like Champion's Path, where there are no non-holo rares, right? It's all holo rares. You'd get 2 because you get a reverse holo and then you get a holo rare in those packs. So I'm assuming there'll be 1 extra holo. And will that be a common? Like, will it be rare? Will it be common? Uncommon? Who knows? But it sounds like you're getting 3 holo cards a pack now, at least, because of the, or they said like in conjunction with the price raise. That may even be a bigger problem. It might make collecting like a master set even harder, I think.
Greg, you get into the TCG this time around?
Nope.
What would convince you to get into it?
I don't see. I don't want to collect it. Right, like collecting. I have.
I don't want
so
junk.
Much junk that I don't want to collect it. Like I already have. Like I meant to keep my magic collection in control, and it's not. And I have to redo it. I had to buy this big box. This to start holding on to stupid magic cards, and. Magic cards, I can play Commander, and they don't... Commander means they're always good. They don't rotate out. The thing that I hate about standard formats is... if I have a deck that I really like playing, it will quickly become not usable except in very specific formats, right? Like, amongst my friends. But, of course, if my friends keep up and get the newest grace, because every card game has huge amounts of scope creep and power creep, like, that is just not... fun for me. It's not fun to try to keep up. Now, I will say, having a deck to go do like the boss battle stuff at conventions, getting stuff where you still have to have a current deck to some extent, but like anything goes, that appeals to me. Like I do have my grass deck behind me that I had a lot of fun at Gen Con doing the boss battles. I just don't like I understand the necessity for it, but I don't like the money investment of a rotating format.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like the rotating format because I like playing with new cards and new mechanics and stuff like that. And like, obviously, changing your deck is really fun. Or it was fun for me to be like, oh, I can add these cards to my deck. Or there were formats where I was like, oh, I'm not like super into like this format, so I'm okay with taking a break. And then like, you know, those certain cards rotate out and you're like, oh, those cards are gone. I'm coming back in. So like there's like an ebb and flow to that. But I think for me, it's the frustration is cost. Let's say cost wasn't a thing. The frustration for me is just like how big these sets are. And then like trying to put them together in binders and then like sorting through just like hundreds of cards and then being like, what am I going to do with these extra cards? It almost feels like if you want to complete these sets, it almost feels like a full-time job. Like I can't do anything else Pokemon related because the TCG itself is like 90% organization and then like 10% just throwing money down the drain.
Well, that's I wasn't collecting for a bunch of years. I was collecting when I was a kid and then I started again. And then I was happy. You know, I was happy with life. And then Steve kept talking about the TCG and talking about, you know, opening cards and things. And I was like, you know, why don't I just dip in and just, you know, buy some packs and see if I pull a Charizard or something. And now I have a binder for every set. And that thing behind me right here is full of those boxes that Greg was just talking about. And I've got cards in every room of the house. My kids have cards. Everybody's got cards. And
I mean,
this is
I
all
do,
Steve's
I
fault.
Do, people do send me cute things.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And I like having cute things.
Well, there you go.
But like, I don't want to. I don't want to play the game. I'll have the cute things. Like, give me the cute things.
Yeah. See, I have.
I tried to get back in the game too, but it's been tough.
For the audio people, I'm holding up Special Delivery Charizard. See, so I have like two Special Delivery Charizards on my desk, right? They're in the cellophane wrapper.
Nice.
And I don't want to take them out of the cellophane, but they're not in a binder. But I feel like they should be in a binder. But I don't know where in the binder to put them. I guess I put them in this is promo 75, apparently.
Yeah.
But I actually don't know where that binder is right now. I don't know where my promo binder is right now. Probably in a box somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, I have this drawer in the next room over. And like now what happens is every time a set comes out, I just buy a binder. And then I try to just organize this. Like I open, you know, I don't know how other people collect. I typically buy more stuff at the beginning of the set coming out to open and then try to like get everything filled at that point. Use like an app on my phone to kind of organize everything. And then after a little while, then I'm like buying more random stuff, buying older stuff. And then what happens is the thing, like everything starts to pile up and then I'm like, uh-oh.
I have crossed the age and patience barrier where it is, why do I have all of this? This stopped being interesting years ago. Nobody cares about it except for me and my interest is waning. Why do I want more? Like, that's sort of the weird thing about collecting is at some point, my brain just went, I don't want to move this into another room. I just want to move it to the trash and never have to deal with it again.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have so much bulk, but I can't get rid of it because I haven't finished sorting it. And like, I know there are a bunch of rares in that bulk that need to go into their respective places in the folder, but I haven't done that organization yet. So therefore the bulk has to sit.
You got to do it right away with the sets. Cause what I do now is like, I buy packs. Like last night I bought some packs and I pretty much have all the commons and the uncommons from the like newest set, right? It's the rares and the ultra rares and all that stuff that I'm missing. So I'll usually go through them. And then at the end of like opening a bunch of packs, I just take all the uncommons and commons and either just toss them in a box or like give them to my kids or something. And then I just have like the rares. And then there's only like 20 cards to worry about instead of like 200 cards to worry about, you know, but you have to get to that place where like you get that all organized first and then you can, you know, then
you
it's a little bit easier.
You have to like and enjoy organization, which not me.
Okay. Well, let's organize ourselves into a break. And when we come back, we will talk about some Scarlet and Violet events and upcoming news. So we will be right back. This podcast is brought to you by Shaker and Spoon, a subscription cocktail service that helps you learn how to make handcrafted cocktails right at home.
Every box comes with enough ingredients to make 3 different cocktail recipes developed by world-class mixologists. All you need to do is buy 1 bottle of that month's spirit, and you have all you need to make 12 drinks at home.
At just $40 to $50 per month, plus the cost of the bottle, this is a super cost-effective way to enjoy craft cocktails, and you can skip or cancel boxes at any time.
Actually, probably a pretty okay gift for Valentine's Day, honestly, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and cool. And we're saying it early enough where you can, yeah. You can actually...
FYI, Valentine's Day is coming up.
So you get $20 off your first box at shakerandspoon.com/PKMNCAST. And we are back from our break. Let's talk about some Scarlet and Violet. So there was the announcement. I think I said this last week that Sarah B said there was some announcement coming. There was. It was the 1008 video.
Yep.
Although I would say we'll talk about that video in a second. There were announcements that came after that video. I will say that 1008 video, very good. I put my reaction. I watched it fresh, put it up on YouTube. Thought it was really great. We'll circle back to that. I would say, though, that was not worth waking up at 6 a.m. for.
And I did not wake up at 6 a.m. for
I
that.
I didn't either. I woke up. I was at work for a couple of hours. Then I went, oh, yeah, there's a video. I should maybe watch that. And then I angered everybody on the internet.
Well, because you don't like Goldango.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine.
It is fine. A lot of people did not feel that was fine, though.
So some of the announcements that came from that was that there's a Valentine's Day event, which will feature Tandemouse, not Mousehold. They did not say how hard this will be, although it is Tandemouse. It is not Mousehold, so I can't imagine it would be a 7-star or a 6-star raid.
I mean, this has got to be like the 1 to 5-star thing, right?
Yes, yeah. This has to be like Delibird.
Like, yeah.
They did say it will focus on fairy type, where the Delibird was technically everything. I don't want to say I'm speculating. It would be very cool if this was like their first shiny event, because again, it is not Mousehold. And we do know that you, in order to get the family of 3, it's a 1 in 100 chance. Otherwise, it's a 99 in 100 chance of getting a family of 4. Now, before anyone says, well, I see family of 3 all the time, family of 3 does exist in raids. You can find a family of 3 in raids naturally. It's just when you evolve Tandemouse, there's a 1 in 100 chance of it becoming a family of 3. So maybe that's the case here. I don't want to give anyone's hopes up. It could just be like the Delibird event. You just get fairy shards, nothing big deal. But if they were to do a shiny... It's funny because this would be a very bad shiny to do in raids because you probably wouldn't be able to see the colors of its shirts because of the lens flare in raids. So you wouldn't actually know until after you caught it whether it'd be shiny. But they haven't done a shiny event yet.
In raids, doesn't it do the sparkle when it at
no,
first?
Or it does
just,
not
no,
sparkle so, in raids.
Why did the
It doesn't sparkle. I didn't know that.
From my understanding, from the two like videos I've seen on Twitter, it does not sparkle in raids.
You do see it in raids though, right? You see it as
you could
a shiny
see it as
raids.
Shiny. It's just with specifically Tandem Mouse, it'd be very hard. It's already hard to tell without like the crystallization over it.
Right. But this goes back to just like shinies in raids at all. Does everyone see it as shiny? Is it like that raid is shiny? Like it was
that raid is like Sword and Shield. That raid is shiny
like
for everyone. Okay. You would see it as shiny in the raid. I heard it doesn't sparkle, but I don't know. Maybe YouTube comments will correct me. I do know that shiny charm doesn't work. It is 1 in 4,096 for raids. Ideally, I guess like if you went into a raid, you saw it was shiny, you could back out, invite your friends. Catch rate is 100% for everyone. But yeah, if I have not seen a shiny raid personally, so I guess I can only give my I've seen this video on Twitter. Maybe it was a fake video. Yeah. I don't know. If you found a shiny in a raid, let me know if it sparkles or not.
I have an important question. Why doesn't every mouse get a hat?
That's a good question.
It bothers me. It bothers me that every mouse doesn't have a hat, that only one person gets a hat. That is difficult for me to get past right now.
Greg with the hard-hitting questions of the day.
I was watching a competitive battle. It was like one of those grassroots battles, so like not official like ladder stuff, right? It was just like a tournament, and somebody had a Sandy Shox. And they fairy typed their Sandy Shox, and the hat was spinning in a circle on the Sandy Shox head, and I couldn't tell if I have no clue if that's supposed to be intentional or not because of Sandy Shox. I was like, I don't know, Sandy Shox is a wild Pokemon, maybe the hat does rotate. I've never seen Sandy Shox terrestrialized. I couldn't tell if it was a glitch or if it was the game or if it was supposed to happen, or specifically with Sandy Shox the heart just spins in a circle on its head the entire battle.
I hate this timeline so much.
I'm very into this game is incredibly broken. It's just there are people that come into my Twitch streams and they're like, why do you guys say this game's so buggy? I've never experienced a bug. And I'm like, we have vastly different definitions of what bugs are.
Yeah.
Because holy cow, like it's like every 10 minutes something wild is happening in this game, whether like I'm falling through the floor or like Pokemon are hiding in walls, or like there was one point in a Cinderace raid where I just watched a Miascarada, by the way, that somebody brought to a Cinderace raid, just like double slap in front of Cinderace, and then Cinderace just disappeared from the raid battle. And I was like, this is wild. Everything about it. So I don't know if Sandy Shox's Terra is supposed to have the Terra hat spin around him, but it was tight. It was awesome. Anyways, Tandem Mouse is coming to raids. The interesting thing about this is it's starting on a Monday and it's ending on like a Thursday. So normally their raid events are like Thursday to Sunday. But this one is starting when a different raid is ending. And then it does go over Valentine's Day. So that makes sense. So
everyone will have to catch one for me because I will not be playing this game during this time period.
Yeah, I don't know if it's great or not. The next bit of news here is they announced another set of raids. They said the next 7-star raid is coming, which is a little bit earlier than expected. I thought they were going to do 1 7-star raid per month, but this one is sneaking into January. So I don't know. Maybe it's 1 7-star raid every 4 weeks.
Two
exactly,
weeks?
No matter what. I don't know what the schedule is, but they didn't reveal what the Pokemon was. They just said it will be a 7-star poison type Terra raid. And it will go from January 27th to January 29th, and then it will return on February 10th through February 12th. It will have the Mightiest Mark. It will be 7 stars. If you didn't know this by now, 7-star raid Pokemon are level 100. Don't bring your level 75 Gengar to a Cinderace, please. It will not survive. I have visual proof.
But Gengar's the best.
There is speculation here of what it could be. not to go too deep into things, but just like in Sword and Shield, I think we've talked about this before. Just like in Sword and Shield, there were some Pokemon in Sword and Shield in the game code, like Melmetal, that were not available until a certain point in the game. Snorlax is another good example, right? Gigantamax Snorlax was in the game code for about a month, but you couldn't get it until they said you could. Charizard was in the game code before Scarlet and Violet released, but you couldn't get Charizard until the raid event. So we do know that Blastoise and Venusaur are nowhere to be found. They're not in the game code. Charizard is. This was exactly the same for Sword and Shield. That being said, it could be exactly the same for Sword and Shield, where Blastoise and Venusaur show up for future DLC, right? I don't think they're going to be forgotten or left behind. Starter-wise, we know that the Gen 8 starters are in the game code. Cinderace, Rillaboom, Inteleon are in the game code. We obviously just got Cinderace. We know the Hisuian starters are in the game code. This makes the most sense because obviously they would want you to use Hisuian Typhlosion, Hisuian Decidueye, and then Hisuian Samurott in those games. And then the other set of starters that are in the game code are the Gen 6 starters. So that would be Greninja, Delphox, and the abomination that is Chestnut. So if we're going thematically, which we have two Pokemon, whether that's a pattern or not, who knows? But thematically, Charizard being
never a pattern. Three
not
is
a pattern. It can't be a pattern.
It can't be a pattern. Two cannot be a pattern.
It can't be a pattern. Thematically, Charizard being a dragon type makes sense, right? Like, I don't think anyone would be like, wow, why would they make Charizard a dragon type Terra? Like, I think everyone's in agreement that that made sense. Cinderace being a firefighting, I think makes sense if you look at like the history of Pokemon fans complaining about firefighting, right? Like there were so many worries that Cinderace was going to be firefighting just looking at him.
It also leans into the soccer hooligan, and I'm looking at you, UK. You know you're a bunch of hooligans and you beat people up when soccer games happen. So
I think if we just go thematically here of a poison type Terra, Greninja does fit thematically because ninja's poison.
So does Spies. It could be Inteleon.
It could also just be Hisuian Typhlosion, right? There are no rules. It could just be
Hisuian.
There's
no rules.
It could be Delphox. It doesn't actually. So thematically, though, I think Greninja makes the most sense. On a technical level, competitively, or I don't know what to call it, like in a raid, like strategically, it makes the most sense because poison is weak to psychic. Greninja counters that by naturally being a dark type. Poison is also weak to ground. Greninja counters that naturally to being a water type. So I think that does both thematically and strategically both make sense. Now, again, it could just be Hisuian Typhlosion. It could be Hisuian Samurott. Like, who knows, right?
Who knows?
I guess technically if it was Hisuian Samurott, I think for the most part the same counters work, right? Because they're both water dark. But who knows? Maybe by the time this podcast goes up, we know exactly what that will be. I will build raid counters, you know, based off that. If it is, you know, Greninja, we would at least know for sure it would have Water Shuriken, right? There's no way they would ever release, like the same reason they would never release Cinderace without Pyro Ball. They're never going to release Greninja without Water Shuriken. It's a signature move. Greninja can be a mixed attacker, though, which is interesting because I think Light Screen and Reflect are pretty important to raids. Unless your name is Slowbro and you're just very selfish and you just iron defense yourself and ignore your entire team.
I need nobody but me.
Let them cook. But Greninja does no Brick Break. So I don't know if that's 800 IQ, if they do make Greninja a mixed attacker and you set Light Screen and you set Reflect and it knows Brick Break. Who knows? I don't think we should be too concerned until we actually finally know what the Pokemon ends up being. But
correct.
You know, even if we're surprised by Greninja's moveset day one, there's the whole weekend plus a whole other weekend after it, assuming it is Greninja. But I do kind of like the, here's the Terra type. What do you guys think it is? I do think that was like interesting marketing from the Pokemon company. I think it's fun.
Yeah.
Are there dates? Sorry, I missed it.
Yeah, you were fixing your camera. January 27th through 29th next weekend.
Okay. So it is. Oh yeah.
And then February 10th through 12th.
Got it.
So we'll maybe Game Freak will throw us a curveball. It'll be Poison Charizard.
Welcome to Poison Charizard.
Very interesting. I think the other thing I'm curious, we don't have enough raid battles under our belt to know, is I think Charizard did have Terra Blast, but it didn't really matter because Charizard learns Dragon type moves, right? And Cinderace didn't have Terra Blast, but Greninja, using Greninja as an example, Greninja only knows two Poison type moves. One is Toxic Spikes, which is completely useless in raids.
Yep.
And then the other one is Gunk Shot, which is a physical move, but Water Shuriken is special, so it could take advantage of Terra Blast, but it would be weird for them to... I don't think it would be weird. It's just interesting that like a lot of 5- and 6-star raid Pokemon don't rely on Terra Blast. So, for example, like Corviknight, if it's a Water-type Corviknight or a Fire-type Corviknight or a Bug-type Corviknight, none of that matters because Corviknight doesn't learn those moves and it doesn't have Terra Blast. It will always just know Drill Peck, Iron Head, Bulk Up. I think it knows, like, Tailwind. So, like, when you look at Corviknight and you're like, oh, it's fire, like, you just know it doesn't have a Fire-type move. So I'm curious if when they're picking for 7-star raid Pokemon, if their natural move set plays a part of that. So again, with Greninja, the only one it knows is Gunk Shot, but they could give it Terra Blast to make up for that.
Would Toxic Spikes go off if your Pokemon fainted because you are sent back in?
Oh, right. I don't know.
I don't know that I've ever seen it. I would imagine it would go off unless you had something that ate up the Toxic Spikes.
Yeah, I don't know. I will say after doing... So I did enough Cinderace raid. This is how I can tell how many Cinderace raids I did. I did so many Cinderace raids that I maxed out on fighting Terra Shards.
Oh, boy.
Whoa.
So I did more Cinderace raids than I did Charizard raids, and I did a lot of Charizard raids, too. Like, literally, I just... all my shiny Pokemon are level 100 at this point, because I just was like, I need to dump these candies into something, because you can't... have more than 999 large candies or whatever, right? I think Charizard gave more XLs than Cinderace did. But I did a lot of Cinderace, and I think my two takeaways, besides... look, I could spend an hour complaining about Stored Power Slowbro. I don't think I need to. I think my two takeaways are I really don't think Leftovers or Black Sludge are worth it in raids at all. And the reason I think that is because every turn, the game has to say that Leftovers goes off, and your clock is still ticking when that happens. Right. And the amount of times where there's only like 5 to 10 seconds left, if like Leftovers throughout the entire raid is like a minute of your entire timer just going off. And I was calculating like the HP you get back, like I was using a Toxapex. And I was like, I'm only getting like 11 to 15 HP back every turn. Like, this doesn't matter at all. Like, even in two turns, that's like 30. Like, yeah, there are some turns where you survive with like one HP of like, oh, I got, but there are also turns where it's like, oh, I got full health and he crit me, even though he was like negative four. Like, it didn't really matter here. Like, there's so much RNG. It was like, does having a little bit of extra HP matter? Yes, 100%. Never, not going to debate that. Does having a little bit of HP to whittle down your timer because of the message popping up for everyone worth it? That's what I don't think is really worth it. Like, there might be, like, I switched Black Sludge on Toxapex to Mirror Herb. So when Cinderace bulks up turn one, I get the defense boost turn one. And that did a million times better for not only waiting every turn to be like Leftovers has repeat, like I just had that like bulkier set right away. I obviously he clears it at some point, but so yeah, the more I do raids, the more I'm like, yeah, I don't think these, which is totally nice. Like, right. Like I think there are moves that are so good for raids that you would probably never see in a story playthrough. Or you would really never see competitively. Like, you know, I've did 3 years of competitive in Sword and Shield. I don't think I ever saw Pokemon Acid Spray once in Sword and Shield, but Acid Spray is so good in raids. And then I think there are held items that you see all the time competitively, but you wouldn't really see in raids and vice versa, which I think is great. I think that's absolutely fantastic that, like, you know, I had some people ask, like, oh, I love your raid Pokemon that you built on, like, Instagram. Can I use these in competitive? And I was like, oh, no. Like,
no.
You could, but, like, no, they're specifically designed for raids. The other thing is any move with recoil, I think, is completely terrible for raids. So, example would be, like, Brave Bird. And the reason that they're bad for raids is because I believe Brave Bird, off the top of my head, you get 1/3 the damage recoiled back to you. So, for example, if you're doing 300 damage, you take 100 damage. And so there would be situations where I would bulk up twice, and then they would be weak against flying, and then I would Brave Bird. And because I was doing so much damage, and because the boss's health is way past, like, 400, right? Like, the right. boss will have, like, 10,000 HP or something like that. You just can't see it. I would do so much damage that I would recoil myself 400 damage, which means I was probably doing like 1200 damage, right? And then I would instant kill myself because I was doing so much damage. So I think any move with recoil isn't really worth it in raids. And if you're surviving your recoil, you're probably not doing as much damage as you think if you're surviving yeah. your own recoil.
Right. right.
So anyways, I like Cinderace. I do think it was harder than Charizard, and I think it was harder because the same reason some 6-star raids are hard for people, they have no way to control the snowball that can happen with bulk up or like a swords dance or like some raid Pokemon have Moxie, so every time you faint, that Pokemon gets stronger because that's how Moxie works. So there was a way to control, obviously, Cinderace's bulk up. You could either taunt it or you could just Chilling Waters. Literally one Pokemon with Chilling Water completely controls that. Yep. But I've noticed in raids where that didn't happen, it was like, oh, this makes sense. Like, I totally understand why more people would fail this than not, because Charizard didn't have a way to control. Like, Charizard never got stronger or weaker. Well, I guess technically you could argue it got stronger when the sun was up with solar
power.
Yeah,
it got a little stronger.
But the bulk up control, I think, was... I don't think it was bad. I think it was, like, now people who don't know what bulk up did, I think they now...
They know now.
They
know
do now. Bulk up did.
Well, so I was talking to Greg earlier. I don't have Cinderace yet. Like, I've done some Cinderace raids with a couple people in Slack, and I have a Slowbro, like I have a raid ready Slowbro, but we couldn't beat it. Like there was three of us, and we tried like 4 or 5 times. I don't know, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, my time.
Yeah,
that's
a rough time to be doing stuff.
Yeah, so I don't have it yet. So I was thinking, like, I was like, okay, I have until 4 o'clock my time today to try to get one. But I think it was definitely harder than Charizard. But at the same time, I don't know. We didn't have a perfectly ready team for it. Like I did. I had my Slowbro, but I know that there was like, and we only had 3 people as well. So we didn't have that. We didn't have that 4th person in there helping out. But I think it was definitely harder than Charizard for sure.
It's still like wild to me that the whole reason, this is the one thing I will say about the Stored Power Slowbro. It's still wild to me that the whole reason the Stored Power Slowbro became popular is because people didn't want to play online with other people. And so the whole point of the Stored Power Slowbro was like, I hate playing online with other people because they don't know what they're doing. So with this Slowbro build of Iron Defense and Stored Power, I can do it myself with NPCs. That was the entire point of why it existed. But I have maxed out my Fighting Terra. I have done so many Cinderace. And when I was, I did this new like thing on Twitch where I was like, let's go into random raids. Cause I helped everyone in my Twitch channel, right? I was like, okay, who doesn't have a Cinderace? Cool. We got Cinderace. Great. Great. You got Cinderace. Great. Cool. I want to see what people are using online. Cause you guys are all using great stuff. You're all using Armor Rouges and Slowbro, like Slowbro's and Toxapex and like whatever was recommended. And there was never a single Slowbro in the countless amounts of like, let's just jump online. Okay. Azumarill, Iron Hands, like the things you would see. Like, I don't think Sylveon's a good choice, but we'll see if your Sylveon can do it. No, it can't. There wasn't a single Slowbro that didn't Iron Defense turn one, Iron Defense turn two. Yeah. Like, and it's just like, this is so crazy to me because the whole point of the Slowbro was so you didn't do it online. Mm-hmm. Because people were complaining that no one online knew what they were doing. So why are you here? I don't understand. Why are you here?
I mean, what that's the thing of a person looking up a build, finding a build, but not reading anything around it, right?
Yeah, no context. Like, just finding
a lot of people just look at builds online and don't read the context. Like, how you should use this. Like, oh, I know how to play Pokemon. I just need a good move set. Done. Out. Mm-hmm. Done and dusted. I got it. It'll be great.
That was like my Jonathan example last week when I was like, oh, this person named Jonathan joined my raid and I was streaming on Twitch. So the only way they could have joined my raid was by watching my stream because the code would have been on the stream in real time. And then they were using the Armor Rouge I built, but they weren't using the other three moves. They were just using Expanding Force. You got the build, right? But you're just spamming the attack when it was like, oh no, Expanding Force is like, you use that like turn four or five. Like, you use that after you use the other three moves that the Armor Rouge has. So yeah, that was like, it was just so, like, I couldn't help but like laugh every raid of like, oh, you're just hitting the things you were told to hit and like, you cannot stray from that stray. Like no cheers for anyone else. Like, doesn't matter if everyone else is dying. I'm never going to help anyone else. I'm just going to hit the moves that like I was told to hit. And then it doesn't work. I don't know. It's just wild to me. Like, the psychology of like, what's going through your mind right now?
Well, yeah.
I mean, yes, absolutely.
Because it's a team-based game. And if you don't want it to be a team-based game, then why are you here? Like, you can do this fine offline. Like, it worked. But the whole point is to work offline.
Right, right. Although, like, for me, like, I don't have 7-star raids. So, like, I haven't done all the things post-game to get the 7-star raids to show up. So, I can see people who are like, I want to get a Cinderace.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to join a raid, and I'm going to win, and I'm going to spam a move. Because in the normal game, I just spam a move, right? Like, I just spam a move and we win, right? And like, not understanding that these raids, I mean, this is the first game ever where you actually have to have a decent amount of strategy. It's only the second game that has raids, but it's the, you know, first one ever where there has to be a decent amount of strategy in what you're doing during these raids.
Yeah.
For these 7-star ones specifically, and maybe in the 6-star ones as well. But so I can definitely see people who have only played Pokemon one way for however long and are like, well, I'll just do this in the raids, right? Like, 7-star raids. And, you know, here's a build that I found online. And oh, here's a streamer who he's been winning all these raids, or he knows how to win these raids. They'll carry me. I'm just going to just, you know, spam this thing. And clearly that does not work in,
I feel like, again, I've done a lot of raids. I feel like if I see somebody come in and the first thing they do is just spam an attack, that tells me that they don't understand the mechanics. Yep. Because there's zero reason why you should ever go into a raid and just be like high horsepower. Like, if anything, you should hit attack boost and then hit high horsepower, because your high horsepower is going to do more damage. But also, everyone sitting next to you, their high horsepowers are going to do more damage, right? Like, there's no reason to ever hit an attack turn one unless that attack is something like Acid Spray, where it's lowering the special defense of Cinderace. So that, like, that tells me right away what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I teased Greg on stream, or I think Greg said something like, I think more people are succeeding than failing. But the amount of people that I just like, I see them get one shot in the raid, and then I go over, I don't know if you guys know this, but you can like go over and like click on their Pokemon and you can see what level they are, but you can't see that before the raid starts. You have to be in the raid, and then you have to like fight the menu of like locking up before it. Like, so I would like click on these Pokemon and be like, you're 75, you're 80, you're 60, you're 97. Why are you 97? You don't have three rare candies? Like, it's just like the amount of people that were just, and I don't want to put the complete blame on them, because nowhere does it tell you Cinderace's nope. level, although you could easily look it up. And again, you know, a lot of these players probably went through this story and was like, this was relatively easy. You know, ideally, you know, most Pokemon games are easy because they just want you to get to credits so you can unlock everything. But like, I just think about this one, like the Gengar, for example. Like, it was like a level 75 Gengar. It was the standard moveset because I could look at all of it. And it was like, oh, you just did a promoted Gengar raid. You caught it because it's level 75. When you catch it, it has all the moves. And then you didn't EV train it. You didn't IV train it. Although it probably has decent IVs. You didn't put a health item on it, and now you brought it here, and now it's getting one shot. I literally used Chilling Water 6 times on Cinderace. He was -6 attack. He was still one-shotting that Gengar. And I just thought, like, you, Mr. Gengar player, any raid you join, you are instantly losing it for the three other people. And it's because the game has no communication of, like, Even if it showed the levels before you joined, I think that would be so helpful.
Yeah.
Because it would alert the other players, like, oh, I'm backing out because we can't win. We literally can't with the level 75 Gengar. I mean, maybe like three very coordinated people could carry that level 75 Gengar, I'm sure. But not three random people, not even knowing that the Gengar is 75 until after the battle has already started. And after the battle started, it's like, oh, we're done for.
It's too late.
It's too late. And I don't want to hear the argument. I saw this last week on like one of the YouTube comments of like, oh, it's just a bunch of kids. I do not want to hear that argument. There are so many but Greg can agree with me 100% because he's played Final Fantasy, which is more of an adult-based game than Pokemon. I will say this. I will say, like, an MMO is normally more an older audience because it requires a monthly subscription. That's the main difference.
Topics are definitely 13 plus.
But so Greg playing Final Fantasy 14, me playing Destiny, there are so many adults that are just dog water at video games, and that's fine. It's okay to be bad at video games, but it's the people that like don't listen to like feedback. Like if I'm in a Destiny raid and somebody keeps dying over and over, and I'm like, hey man, like, maybe try a different gun, or hey, maybe you should like do this first, and they're like, no, I'm good. And it's like, are you? Because you've died more than everyone else, and we're gonna sit here for another 2 hours unless you just make this small minor tweak. Like, hear me out, man. You need another smoke break first. Like,
well, that's what I was gonna say. Like, I think kids are actually more likely to try to figure out how to win the raid than adults are. Like, In a way of, I feel like there are a lot of adults who they might come into a raid I've seen this in like Pokemon Go, right? And I know that's different than this, but there are a lot of adults who will come into a raid or something and they'll be like, oh, I got this. Like, I know what I'm doing, or like, you know, I've done this before or whatever. And then you see them pull a Pokemon out that's like, oh, that Pokemon is not going to do well here. Like, I'm not really sure why they brought that Pokemon, but okay. You know, I'm not one to be like, hey, you're not using the right, like for a Pokemon Go raid, right? I'm not going to step over to the person
who's
and be
using
like, you need
the
to-
Aggron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but I've seen that. And then those people will just be like, if we lose, they're like, oh, okay. And they'll like walk away or
I have
something.
Seen that
like,
too.
Yeah,
actually, you're right. I have seen that where an adult will walk away from a 5-star raid after like failing it once.
Yeah. And they're like,
yeah,
okay.
But the thing is adults have very different needs as far as how you need to coach them. And they have very different needs as far as their time.
Yeah. So, no, I'm not saying like, see that happening.
It does happen. One thing that I don't ever want to get into is taking like, we can draw some conclusions off of anecdotal what we see, but we don't know the full story. Like, we saw a person bring a 75 Gengar, not understanding what the raid was, losing. We don't know what they did after that, right? We have no way to speculate if they went and learned.
I know. They probably made a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. They probably took a bath.
Yeah, they may have taken a break. They may have said, I'm going to come back. I'm going to talk to my friends. Who knows what actually happens, right? Like, you can watch... Like, I this is the new patch week for Final Fantasy 14, right? We have one new dungeon. We have a completely new raid. All of it's brand new. And between Tuesday when it first came out, which was rough, to Thursday when it was like, well, we're sailing through just easy. Not a problem. Like, these are people that they do learn, but you have to approach especially adults in a way that doesn't make them angry and where they're open to feedback. Because adults shut down. I am a trainer. We have to deal with this all the time. Adults will shut down learning within the first 2 minutes if you don't approach them correctly. Because they're like, nah, you don't tell me. I'm an adult. I know what's going on. You have nothing to teach me. So you have to approach them in a very different way than kids who are like, I'm sat in front of a teacher and told what to do every day, and I have zero level of autonomy. Like, this is what I'm used to.
And Greg, you're talking about how you're a trainer and what you do. If you're training people on something, I'm assuming you're talking like work related.
Yeah.
What you do for work, that can sometimes be more of a necessity for that person's life at that moment, if it has to do with some way of their communication and things like that. Then
and
even
they
like,
will still shut you down.
Right, exactly.
What's frustrating is we as trainers have to spend an extraordinary amount of time explaining to them why this is worth their time. Mm-hmm. To get them to buy into what we're doing.
Right.
Like, that is a vital part of how we have to train adults, is you have to convince them why this is worth it. And telling them, because it's your job, doesn't cut it. You can't tell an adult, well, this is your job. You have to do this. They don't care. Mm-hmm. They're like, okay, I my job is fine the way it is. I don't need this new information. It's teaching adults, like, I sometimes wish I could teach kids, because at least you have a minor amount of authority over kids. Adults are wild. Wild. It's so frustrating dealing with adults sometimes.
That is very true.
Well, I had the thing that I kind of suggested where people were scared to ask for help, right? Like, I had somebody come into my stream and they were like, hey, I was one of those people you were talking on the podcast. Like, I'm here to ask for help. Can you help me? If not, no big deal. And I was like, for sure can help you. What do you got? They were like, I only got a level 100 Koridon. I was like, oof, okay, oof. Not the best choice. But I was like, all right, let me grab some people in my community, like in Twitch chat, that I know that will help. And we did it, right? We did it first try. They had a Koridon. I was like, hey, to be honest, you're probably not going to attack because you're not going to do that much damage. I was like, defense cheer turn one, and then just heal cheer turn two and three. And by that time, we should be pretty set up to knock it out. And we did. And they were really happy. And that was great. That was like a great feeling. They got Cinderace. They were bummed that they missed Charizard. Like an amazing experience. Love those experiences, right? Like, it's the reason why I ran King's Fall a million times. I was like, I'm not getting any rewards because I only get rewards once a week. But like, here we are, like, just helping somebody else complete King's Fall again in Destiny. So, and then there was another person that was like, hey, first time doing raid. I have a stored power Slowbro. I saw it was good. Don't know how to do it. I was like, great. I was like, you're not going to do what you heard. You're going to Iron Defense once. You're going to Nasty Plot twice, and then you're going to hit Stored Power. I was like, this is very different from probably what you read. And they're like, okay. And they did it, and we one-shot it. And the reason we one-shot it is because I used Acid Spray 3 times, and then somebody else attack cheered. And I knew the damage calculations would be more than enough, so you didn't have to waste 3 turns Iron Defensing, 3 turns Store Powering, or Iron Nasty Plotting. And they were like, oh my gosh, like, that worked great. And then afterwards, they were like, I don't really know what Stored Power does. Can you explain it? And I was like, yeah, I'm right. Perfect. And yeah, exactly. It's crazy to me because, like, I explained Stored Power in, like, maybe less than 2 minutes. And it's like, that's very hard to do in, like, an infographic. And I make infographics for, like, Instagram and stuff. But I was like, man, I feel like if there are YouTubers or video content, or, like, why would you not explain that? Like, it's relatively easy to explain. And I think it's important to explain, like, what it's doing. But it doesn't surprise me that people are like, oh, I was just told to do these 3 moves, then these 3 moves, then this move. And it's like, oh man, you can cut a lot of that out if you kind of realize what's happening around you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is my eternal struggle as a professional trainer, because everybody wants what's now called micro training, which is give me the most vital information in a couple of minutes. I know the rest. And my entire career at this point is trying to convince everybody you don't know the rest. Mm-hmm. You don't know. Like, yeah, I can look up to say, where's the bathroom in Spanish? I don't know how to speak Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I know how to build this Slowbro. I don't know how to play the rest of the game. Right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people focus on short bite content. And it's very popular and it works really well. But your audience, you don't know that your audience knows the context upon which your short bite video fits. Yeah. And there's just not a lot of content creators or a lot of trainers out there that are like, I'm going to build videos around the context, because context isn't as snappy and doesn't do as well. Mm-hmm.
It's also, though, based on like the person who is receiving that information's time, right? Like you were just saying, like time. That person may have seen one video or read one article that said, like, here's a build or some, you know, something along those lines.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure Polygon or IGN has, like, this is the best build for Cinderace this weekend.
And then they came in, they're like, hey, I got to do this Cinderace raid. I've got, you know, the next 20 minutes or 15 minutes where I'm free to do this thing that's only here this weekend. Hey, help me do this thing. And it's like, okay, well, you got a build because you saw that, you know, you read that article in Polygon or whatever, IGN or some content creator. And now you're here and it's like, okay, but a few more minutes of research, you would have seen how this works. But it's like, at that point, they're like, well, I didn't have a few more minutes. I just saw this article, built this thing, and then, you know, came in and did this. And so I think it's kind of tough. It's tough when you don't have context on the receiving end, and it's also tough when you don't have context of what you're walking into, right?
Also, Google likes to do that thing where it will show just the build in the middle blurb window and cut out the rest of the context.
Oh, you're sure,
like,
yeah.
Or mm-hmm. when it says "don't use this build" is the two sentences above it, but they're just seeing the build. And you're like,
yeah, only use this build this way, and then but they don't show that. They're just like, here's the build.
No, there were a ton of trainers this weekend that I played with that they were like, my only level 100 is Skeledirge, or my level only 100 is Mimikyu, or my only level 100 is whatever, insert Pokemon here. And we were able to get all of those people through Cinderace because the other three Pokemon had strategy, and the person who was like, this is the only thing I had, they were like willing to listen, and they were like excited that they were like, okay, I know what my role is. My role is going to be like defense cheer, heal cheer. If I have Leer or Screech or whatever, like, I'm going to use that, like, and that's great. Like, that's the kind of like person you want to play with, right? Like somebody who's like open to being like, cool, I'm like very I'm like ready to do this with you guys. And
and I'll tell you, like, if you take just a random Pokemon player who's going to jump into these raids, and let's say they got a level 100 something that doesn't help, right, something where the attacks aren't going to help, and you're expecting them to know to cheer, like, they won't, right? Like, because when are you ever doing that other than in raids, right? You see, the menu pops up, you know, I have four attacks, you go to the attacks, you don't even click down to see what is the cheer one, right? It's just, I'm going to go into my attacks, I'm going to attack.
Well, it was also 3 years of Sword and Shield where cheering only happened when you were dead.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yep. Exactly. And it was forced, right? It was forced. Uh-huh. It was the only thing you could do when you had fainted. So now it's like, it's an option. And I guarantee you, anyone who hasn't taken the time for good or bad reason, I mean, like, not blaming them, but anybody who hasn't looked into it very much is probably just going to go straight to attacks and then do one of their four attacks. They're not going to go to cheer.
Last bit of news was the 1008 trailer that came out.
Yeah.
They also, so in the announcing it was like 8 minutes, I think the trailer was 8 minutes, which felt like 30 seconds when you were watching it. Zoomed by, I guess it probably shows how great that video was since it went by so fast. They announced the Tandem Mouse. They announced the 7-star poison. They also said a Scarlet and Violet update will come at the end. Late February, I think, were their words. 1.2. So, assuming that when Scarlet and Violet lost, it was 1.0.1. That only added online play. And then there was 1.1, which was when they added Charizard. And they fixed the cloning glitch. and then they fixed the Elite Four music thing, and then they fixed the RNG thing in competitive. So they did do quite a couple of fixes for the stuff. Still a lot broken with this game. So if there was one thing on my wish list of what they could fix, I would love to say frame rate, because the frame rate's so bad. But I think my number one thing would be the PC and how terribly slow it loads, and how you can't like drag and drop Pokemon from different boxes like you used to in the old game. And the only way to equip or look at ribbons is by removing them from your PC and putting them in your party. By the way, there's a bunch of people I saw that on my TikToks, other people's TikToks, Instagram, that are like, my Cinderace didn't have a mark. It does, but because the PC is so terribly broken, you have to move the Cinderace to your party or the Charizard and then turn the mark on and then move it back to the PC. I don't know if 1.2 will fix the PC, but my number one wish list would be the PC. Maybe my number two would be frame rate. I don't know.
My number two is getting stuck in the cheer menu in raids where you can't actually hit the button you wanted to cheer. You can't back out. You're just stuck there.
Okay, so I had this work. It works 50% of the time, Greg. It's either it works or it doesn't. It's like finding a shiny. You either find it or you don't. If you hit the home button and go back out to the menu, if you hit the home button and then you go back in, it has fixed it for me, and then I got unstuck. Try that.
Oh, no.
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 Oh, no.
No. Bad.
You also might just disconnect from the raid. Who knows?
Yeah, correct. Bad. This is bad. Stop. Fix it.
Who knows? My worry is that the 1.2 update only adds Pokemon Home compatibility and nothing else.
Well,
that's my expectation. I would hold your expectations of that at the moment.
Yeah. Who knows? The video was good. The 1008 video was good. Obviously, they made a big deal about Goldango. Still don't know how to say its name. Golden Gold, Goldango being the 1,000th Pokemon. By the way, I don't care which one it is pronounced. I just don't know which one it is.
I don't know which it is.
Yeah.
It's the 1,000th Pokemon. Yeah, I don't know. I like the trailer. I don't know if you guys had any extra thoughts on it. Trailer, I don't know what to call it.
Video recap?
Presentation?
Video preview, yeah.
25-year recap or 27-year recap?
I did.
It was cute. It was fun. Yeah. It was entertaining. I felt a little towards the end when they were going through each one and counting, doing the numbers. I'm like, okay, you could have put a bunch of these on the screen at the same time and sped this whole thing up.
I thought they were gonna do one by one the entire time. And when they were doing three by three, I was like, oh, all the starters. That makes sense. And then I was like, oh, we're doing like 20 like Route 1 Pokemon at once. I was like, oh, we're burning through this. But it was still 8 minutes long. Like, there's a lot of Pokemon.
Yeah. I liked the grouping. I liked the way they did the grouping, right? Yeah. And then they had like the baby Pokemon at one point, and then just kind of seeing the different groups and thinking like, oh, that's kind of cool to you know, see how those are grouped together, or see, you know, or kind of try to figure out why they were grouped together.
Yeah, to see why and how they grouped certain ones together.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
I didn't realize, I guess like we've talked about it before. I know we've talked about it before, but then I didn't put two and two together until they did the Pokedex, where they showed the Paradox Pokemon, and then they showed the four treasure ruins, like the four legendary Pokemon, and then they showed Roaring Moon and Iron Valiant.
Valiant.
And I was like, oh, wait, why are those two not with the first set of Paradox? And then I realized both of those Pokemon were based off Megas, but also like it would mess up the Goldango thing.
Yeah,
but it's still like those two Pokemon are respectively based off Mega forms, and they're not with the initial pairing that were the. I just thought, I don't think it means like, I don't think it's any deeper than that.
I was confused about that as well, because when they started doing the Paldean Pokemon, those were all what their national dex number is, yes, right? Like that was kind of where that started.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's how they got to the Golden Go being 1,000. But I just thought it was weird that they, unless I was watching that incorrectly, but I thought it was weird that they did separate out the Paradox Pokemon.
Yeah, the only two that are separated out were the two.
I just thought that that was weird that they even separated them up from each other. Yeah. Because the last eight weren't. Yeah. What was one through four? One through four was the four.
1001 was the slug. 1002 was the scoliosis leopard. 1003 was the ashtray, and then 1004 was the fish.
The cutie fish.
Right. So then 5, 6, 7, and 8 were four of the
5 and 6 were Mega Salamance, aka Roaring Moon, and then Gallade and Gardevoir. Iron Valiant, and then 7 was Coridon, and then 8 was Miraidon.
Oh, yep. right. Okay. Okay, so I guess it wasn't as different as I thought, but I still thought it was weird that they separated them out from each other. But I guess if they're based on the Megas, that makes more sense.
The one thing I wish they had not done is ended that with the catch-em-all motto again. That thing needed to be stay buried and never come back. That... Dude, why would you talk about that at this point? Why would you bring that up? Why even mention it?
I mean, just stop. They said they weren't going to do a national dex, and we're how many main series games deep now? 5 main series games deep on the Switch, and there's no national dex in any of them.
just leave it. Just leave it. Just
this is the same company that did.
You could have done
fighting type for Cinderace. They know what they're doing. They know what buttons they're pushing.
I mean, it's just they're just trolling people at
that
point.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm here for Game Freak trolling their fan base at this point. They're probably like, this is the only video game keeping the lights on. Take this. okay, well, that's our episode for today. Bunch of stuff on YouTube. Like I said, if you want to see my reaction to the 1008, that's on YouTube. I did a huge video. It took me 2 days to edit it and cut it and all that stuff about what is actually happening in a raid battle. I had to do that raid battle like solo to break it down and like slow it down. It works for both like solo and co-op. It is me fighting Cinderace. That just because Cinderace is gone doesn't mean like that video is irrelevant. It's to show you mechanics of the battle, not specifically this is how you defeat Cinderace. So you can take what you learn there. I've heard a bunch of feedback that it was really helpful, and I didn't know this. People didn't know how critical hits worked. Like, people were very shocked that critical hits ignore stat changes. So like, if your Cinderace is like negative any Pokemon, I'm just using Cinderace for example. If your Cinderace is -4, the critical hit ignores that and then boosts the damage. Or if you're like really bulky, like if you're a Slowbro with +6 or 3 iron defenses, critical hit ignores that. Like, that's the whole point of critical hit and why it's like so momentum critical. Shifting in a battle. So there's a bunch of like maybe little stuff that you don't know. It explains how the raid shield works and stuff and why you feel like you're not doing that much damage when a raid shield goes up. So a bunch of tips and tricks for that Cinderace fight. It's on YouTube. It's the video with the Armor Rouge in the thumbnail, if that makes it easy for you. And some non-Pokemon news. If you're really into Monster Hunter, I will be streaming Monster Hunter on January 20th. Monster Hunter Rise comes out on PS5 and PS4, so I'm just going to spend a day to play that because I still like Monster Hunter. So anyone who listened to The Carve and somehow found this show because of The Carve, well, at least have a Monster Hunter day this weekend. So Monster Hunter on Friday on Twitch, otherwise Pokemon all this week. Yeah, Larvitar Community Day on the 21st, which is Saturday, not Sunday. Craig, are you coming to this, or is this the weekend you can't?
No, I can this weekend.
Okay. So Larvitar Day there, and then Lunar New Year also starts that weekend in Pokemon Go. There's a lot of Pokemon stuff happening. So
we've got Crown Zenith TCG
also the 20th
comes out,
I think,
on Friday as well.
Yes, and I believe the Pokemon Company
and 4-packs, the Regidrago and Regieleki collection boxes,
yeah,
and the ETBs come out on Friday.
I believe the Pokemon Company is sending me Crown Zenith, so I think I can open it on the 19th. But yes, the official launch day is 20th.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting. I don't know if that set's going to be worth it or not. Hold thoughts on that. It might be.
That set's going to be worth
it. Okay.
It is. It's going to be worth it. Last Sword and Shield set. It's got the Galarian Gallery, 70 like full art cards of Pokemon.
That Charizard premium box was not worth it.
It wasn't, but.
What's my Roserade, Rosalia?
I think the English Roserade is in there, isn't it? Or is it? Was that the set
English
before?
Roserade
that
was the set was before. In.
I think this Roserade came out. I got those cards.
Yeah, that came out the set before.
Yeah, no Roserade, but there are there are a lot of great cards in.
Is this the Mew with the Cramorant in it?
Yes, with the Cramorant. There's a really cool Pikachu secret rare in this.
Is this that like really there like is... it actually made Semisear cool?
Yes.
There's
the,
like a
the
really
cool Semisear.
We never thought I would say this on this podcast. There's a cool Semisear coming out in TCG form.
There's a Ditto. There's a Ditto that looks like Numel card. There's good cards. It's a 70 card subset, which is the Galarian Gallery. A lot of full arts and things like that.
Okay.
But, I think it's going to be worth it.
Okay, cool. All right. We will be back next week. I think Hannah was moving this week. I think that's why she couldn't be on. And then Greg will be missing for an episode or two when they're traveling. So we'll have Bobby. We have Hannah. We can always pull Bev or Cody or anyone else too. So, hey, if you missed it, Will's not on the show anymore. I'm not sure how many times that's going to be asked on Twitter or Reddit. Will didn't want like a fancy goodbye at all. So, that is very Will, though. I feel like
it's very Will.
It's very
Look,
Will.
I can't get him to commit to a lot of things. A fancy goodbye was never going to be the thing. Look, we have talked about his funeral, and his funeral is also not a fancy goodbye.
I'm sure Will be back later this year for an episode or two. In maybe in the next 5 years when he finally beats Scarlet and Violet, he'll
have. We should
have
him in June, Pride Month, when he's finally finished Scarlet or Violet.
Yeah, I think right now his main priority is to find a new place to live. So he doesn't want.
It's always his priority.
I don't blame him. His house isn't that
good
great.
Priority.
Okay, we will see you guys next week. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Bobby. Thank you, Greg. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective.
Super Scarlet Elite Sucker Box. You people and your elite trainer boxes for no good reason.
Yeah, well, is what it is.
This podcast is brought to you by Patreon. A huge shout out to our producers of the episode, starting with Stephen, Kay, William, Tony, Stuart, Ryan, Nate, Matthew, Bovine, Catherine, Casey, Josh, Jessica, Greg, Courtney, Chris, Brian, Anthony, and our executive producers of Spencer and Brady. Thank you so much for the continued support. If you too would like to support us on Patreon, you can head over to patreon.com/pkmncast. That is patreon.com/pkmncast. And you can sign up to get a bunch of rewards, including having your name read at the end of the episode. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.